So I'm just going to share very quickly a little encounter I had once, and I think it might just set the scene of where we're going to go tonight. I had one encounter with the Lord where he called it a face-to-face encounter with him, and it was amazing. And partway through, he said an amazing phrase to me, and I've told this to Liz many, many times, and it really is quite an amazing phrase. And it goes like this: love is life, and life is love, and love is what life is all about. So let's just sit in that moment. Let's connect with the heart of love, the source, the authority, the birth, the one who is love. Because love is life, and life is love. And life is love, and love is what life is all about. So I release now, I release the Father's heart, that deep, that high, that wide, that all-encompassing, that multifaceted, multi-realmed love, the feelings of love, the safety of love, the power of love. I release it in this building, in this space, in this dimension, in and around us, over us, through us, from us, in us, in the name of Jesus. And we ascend into your presence, Lord. We ascend into your throne room to worship you, to worship the one who is love, the conceiver of love, the birther of love, the one who is love. Wow. Wow. Amen.
Just as we go into worship now, like following on from what Wes was just saying, just connect. Just get yourself centered on the inside. Just still down, let go of the week, let go of all the dramas. Just come back into this moment, in this moment right now. Just be present, be very present, and lock in internally with the eyes of your spirit, and find his presence inside and go in and up. Because tonight we are going to encounter the King. Nobody's interested in meetings anymore. We are gathering around the presence of God at his invitation, and it's holy. It's all about you, Jesus. Just reach out and touch the edge of his garment by faith and begin to receive fresh virtue. Receive fresh life into yourself as you open your heart now and engage. Worship is communing with the King of Glory. As we know, it's just stepping in, like Wes just said, just stepping into his presence, engaging the perfection of God and being perfected because of the presence. So we step in now, Jesus. We step in. We reconnect to the source, to the true source of light and life. Let light engulf your being. Let light, the perfection, the purity of the glory realm of the eternal God. Let it engulf you as you engage with him now and soothe away, every issue and meet every need. All of our needs have been met through his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So as we engage and step in to the glory, it is our birthright to receive. It glorifies our King as every need is met. And he's going to open eyes tonight and show us things that we've not seen before, to wow us with the majesty of who he is and reframe our reality again and break us out of our boxes and limited perspective and take us right back up onto the mountaintop with him to see clearly. You are worthy, Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy. We lay our life down at your feet. We engage with you now. Have your way in this place. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you to take us into the realm of glory together. We welcome the great cloud of witnesses. We welcome the angelic host. We welcome heaven. We welcome you, Jesus. We welcome you. We welcome you in this place. Wow. 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 Just flop into him. Lay prostrate before him, inside or physically if you need to. Just lie down, sit up, whatever is going to help you connect, move around, stay still. This is a safe place. We are family. The most important thing is you connect with him. We're here to facilitate an encounter. Thank you, Jesus. So let faith arise now, Lord. Let faith rise up. This is for all of us. Encountering you is normal Christianity. Wow. Being transfigured in your presence is normal. It's why you died. So I loose it. I loose the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus right now to take us into new visibility, new encounters with you, Jesus. Wow. Let's love him now with all our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength, just align our will. We give ourselves to you, Jesus. Wow. Wow. Come. Wow. Over and over and over, Jesus has been showing me himself as the eagle. And he had a huge gold scroll that he'd opened. And he was decreeing over us. And he was releasing fresh sight, fresh spiritual sight. I felt very strongly that quite a number of us have been affected in the area of our visibility, spiritual visibility, and Jesus wants to correct that and increase the gift of sight on us so that we can see as he sees. So just as we just do a little bit more worship, just we'll just press in that little bit more. Just receive that. Ha. Ha. Fresh spiritual sight. Wow. Where the enemy's been coming against you or circumstances have been weighing you down and you feel disconnected. He's reconnecting us. Every single one of us, those here, those listening, holy. So I just release what I've received in heaven for myself, what I've seen. I release that spiritual sight. To see Jesus more clearly and to see through the eyes of his heart. I speak reconnection, full reconnection for each one of you right now. Full reconnection to the anointing, to the presence of God. To soar high. Physical and spiritual sight. Physical and spiritual sight. to be fully restored. Wow. Wow. All hindered visibility is being healed. Wow. Wow. Whatever pain you've gone through, whatever difficulties have been you've been walking through, whatever's hindered your sight, it's being restored. I'm going to start sharing. Please don't disengage. Just keep completely focused on Jesus. And what I share, receive the nuggets for yourself. Just listen to it with your heart wide open. It's all part of the worship. And we'll just dip in and out and flow with Holy Spirit like we normally do. I'm going to be vulnerable again tonight. I'm going to share some of my mess. Trusting that what Holy Spirit's put in my heart is going to release life to you and keys. Because we go through the mess of our lives, don't we, to be transfigured. The Lord encounters us in the middle of it and transforms us. And it's amazing, actually. Mary heard, our precious Mary, didn't know what I'm about to share, and the Holy Spirit's just given her a picture of where I believe the Lord's going to take us tonight. He put into my spirit the message that he gave the title, The Process of Transfiguration, Living in the Power of Resurrection Life. So I'm going to share a couple of encounters, and I'm going to share an experience that the Lord then led me into, where he began to teach me how to live in resurrection life, to live in the center of the cross. Holy. And so the years preceding the experience that I'm just about to share, I went through years and years and years, as Lulu and others who are really close to me know, years and years of encounters, years and years of the Lord pouring out his love into me constantly so that my identity was very secure. But what I didn't understand was that at a certain point in our lives, many of you will know this, the Lord begins to call us out from the ecstasy of experiencing his love into the place of mature love, where it no longer is about us enjoying the love of God, which we always do. Please hear me correctly. We always do that. But for me, that was my experience stopped there. I was just completely consumed with his love and experiencing his love, which is beautiful. But that love then created in me a strength that would enable me to start to walk in obedience out of love for Jesus, requiring the cross, where I began to learn that when you do that, as many of you know, it releases resurrection life. And we begin to be transfigured, and what we touch becomes transfigured because we move from self-centeredness, carnal nature, loving God, beginning to be transformed in our identity to death and resurrection life and power. And that's what we're celebrating at the moment, isn't it? Passover. The cross is glorious. It's painful, as we know, requiring death to self to move from there into operating out of who we really are in Christ as a new creation. Wow. I'm going to read a scripture to start with, and then I'll start to share the encounters. I'll get you to come up, Mary, and just share, because it's where the Lord wants to take us, for definite. Okay, this is Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse 6, from the Passion Translation. If you guys haven't read the Passion Translation of the Bible yet, I totally recommend it. It's amazing. A lot of it's from the original language. Okay, so just listen to this with your spirit. So this is the Shulamite speaking to Jesus, so it's us speaking to Jesus, to God. Holy, the Shulamite responding to Solomon, but obviously, as we understand, it was factual, but it's also allegorical for God's people and his relationship with us. And the process of maturing through our lives, the process that the Holy Spirit takes us through to come forth leaning. The original, I love this. I found out that in the original language, the word revival, in its root meaning, the word revival means leaning into God. Isn't that awesome? So the Shulamite in chapter 8 of Song of Solomon, for those of you familiar with it, she comes out of the wilderness leaning. She's found the place of power in the seat of rest, understanding his faithfulness and his love and his transfiguring presence and the place of abiding to be able to flow in power and to partner with him in mature love. That's the process of our life, isn't it? That's what he's doing with us. So this is Song of Solomon's chapter 4, verse 6. Holy, wow. Wow, holy, thank you, Jesus. I've made up my mind. Until the darkness disappears and the dawn has fully come, in spite of shadows and fears, I will go to the mountaintop with you. The mountain of suffering love and the hill of burning incense. Yes, I will be your bride. Meaning, I will become the perfect reflection of you in the earth, God. I will allow you to transfigure me so completely. I will walk the life of yieldedness and abiding and become so completely one with you that I become a perfect expression and reflection of who you are. Your nature would so infuse me. Until the darkness disappears and the dawn has fully come is a description of the process of sanctification, of where there's darkness remaining in us. We will say yes to him, to his invitation to become transfigured into his likeness. So his beauty exchanges for the ashes of our old nature. And we become clothed, as it says in the book of Revelation, in fine linens, the righteous acts of the saints. That's the nature of God. We become clothed in the nature of God. Every time I'm going to go all over the place here. Just flow with me, Holy Spirit. Every time we choose death to self, every time we surrender hate, every time we surrender bitterness and resentment and fear and unbelief, every time we surrender the little foxes that get, as it says in the Song of Solomon, that ruin the vineyard, that speaks of the carnal nature, you know, the laziness, the bitterness, the fear, the resentment, the things that manifest out of our being under sufficient pressure. They get in the way of the intimate connection that we have with God as we yield those things to him and we allow the divine exchange to happen. And we say, no, I'm not going to look at that pornography. No, I'm not going to have that affair. No, I'm not going to lie. No, I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to hate. I'm not going to bitch about and be nasty and critical. I'm not going to promote disunity and all the things that are common to all of us as we go to the cross with those attitudes of heart and we allow him, we surrender, even in an unjust situations, you know, we surrender the self-life, the demands of the self, and we say, no, I will go, I will do it your way. His nature replaces where there's been historically carnality. What we do in that moment of the cross is we crack the self-life. We split the restrictive casket of the Adamic nature that's held us. That's what the cross does. It splits it. And what happens is that, as we know, the who we really are in God starts to come to the surface, containing, you know, the seed of God begins to spring forth life, and the nature of God starts to rise up and become predominant inside of us. The cross is the place of transfiguration. It's the place of power. It's the place of resurrection life. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. If we will just press through in a, for a, sometimes it's excruciating. I understand. I've been there a squillion times. It's, but what he does is he sustains us. He sustains us with his love. He understands our frailty. He undergirds us with his love and his strength and his presence. Like Jesus said, you know, those that do, how do we love God? You know, he said, those that do my will, those that love me will do my will. Ha. So as we do his will, as we, it's all about the nature of God. It's all about becoming Christ-like. That is our highest calling, as we know, is to become Christ-like. Everything we do, yes, it's all extremely important, and it all is very significant, and they are legitimate kingdom works, and they're hugely important. But at the end of the day, it's about becoming Christ-like. It's about knowing him, abiding, living in the place of the cross, living in the place of surrender, finding out who he is, who we really are, being transfigured in his presence and releasing the glory of his nature everywhere we go and collapsing the darkness, being filled with light. You know, every time we choose him, we're reconnecting back. We're yielding in that place of yieldedness. We're fully aligning ourselves under his headship. We're plugging back into the source. We're cracking the nature, the carnal nature. We're splitting it's like a straitjacket. I mean, to use a very simple visual analogy, it's not exactly like that, but to use that, it's a restrictive container. We break it by choosing him. And his power floods into us. The source of the true source, the one who is life, the one who is light, the one who is our creator, our Abba. We choose him, we align to him, and power cascades into us. That's what happens in those moments when we don't give in and we surrender. Wow, Jesus. And we come forth leaning on our beloved. So for quite a few of us at the moment, one of the things that Lord put on my heart today was to, for this evening, was to, through what I'm about to share, to reframe our reality again, to shift us back into understanding what time it is in our lives. The Holy Spirit will speak to you personally about that, what he's doing. Like, lots of people that I know at the moment have been going through crazy circumstances, very extreme difficulties. They've had lots of experience of the love of God, and now they're in seemingly crazy situations, really difficult pressure everywhere. Good things happening too, but difficulties. He's trusting many of us with suffering because he's bringing forth a bride without spot, blemish, or wrinkle, who is holy, who is pure and holy and refined in the fire and clothed in the nature of God. So I'm not saying that he causes all the circumstances that are around us. Lots of it is warfare. Lots of it is the result of our own decisions that haven't been particularly good. Other people's sin, you know, everything that's common to all of us is collective reasons that create the pressures in our lives. But what he's doing is he's using all of them to bring us forth, shining, clothed in the nature of who he is, transfigured by love. And he's saying to us, for many of us, it's like he's catapulted into us into circumstances where he's saying, will you love this person with me? Will you walk in obedience? Will you do this for me? Will you do that for me with me? And it's requiring the cross. to do it. It's requiring us to walk in a, well, we reach the end of ourselves in those circumstances. And he said, I mean, if that's witnessing to any of you at the moment, that's what I felt. He wants to shift us tonight into a place of understanding what time it is in our lives, getting heaven's perspective on our situation, and then reconnecting and partnering with him from the place of the power of the cross, so that we're not doing it in our own strength anymore. We're not living in a complete state of being overwhelmed, but we get heaven's perspective again, and we come back into a place of strength in him. We go, okay, that's what you're doing, right? Because the place of mature love, running with the Lord in ministry, whatever we're doing, running with the Lord in our lives, in obedience, to walk through situations, to love people, whatever it is that he's requiring of us that is difficult, it requires the cross, it requires his grace to do it. What he's doing is he's transfiguring us in the process, and he's releasing resurrection life into that situation, because it's requiring us to die. And when we die, guess what? Resurrection life flows. We get out of the way. We say, I will no longer self-preserve. In this moment, I choose to trust you, Lord. I will not fight for my life to be retained the way I want it to be. Okay, I'm going to share an experience I had in my life. Please don't tell anybody after I've told you this. Because I wasn't in the holiest chapter of my life. But it's important to be real, isn't it? And the Lord brought incredible glory out of it. Okay, the first thing I'm going to share very, very fast is a number of years back, the Lord started to talk to us and a number of us about us, about this, about us now entering the time of the transfiguration of the bride, of God's people, where we would now be brought forth in purity and holiness. And the work of those who are in leadership, well, we're all in leadership in various ways, but it's about cooperating with the Lord, allowing him to remove the darkness, to fill us with light, and to serve in the preparation of the bride, to come to a place where we are so aligned with his nature, so concerned about pleasing him above all else with all of the movements of our heart and mind, that everything would be pleasing to him. He's bringing us forth transfigured to be able to love with agape love. Wow. And he took Lulu and I out to Israel. And he told me to go to the Mount of Transfiguration and that he would meet us there. And so we did. We went out to Israel and got lost, as we do many times in the Galilee area. And we ended up, amazingly, completely lost on the foot of the Mount Tabor, on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus met us there. And he began, it was the most holy, incredible time. We were with another friend of ours, a lady called Natalie Blackham, who lives over in Israel, and she hosted us. And we went, and the Lord began to sing songs over the nations, over Israel and over the nations. And it was all about, this is the time we're now in. It's the time of the transfiguration. There's an acceleration of the transfiguration of the bride. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So everything now is working towards that end. And then the Lord gave me another experience with him, which sustained me again. I've shared this before, but I was taken up before the Godhead, as all of us corporately together, as many times as I have experiences, it transforms me, but it's for all of us. And then I come in agreement with what I've experienced, and that life begins to flow, and I have faith for that to become all of our experience. And so I had an experience where I was taken up before the Godhead. I was standing before Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, and I began to be filled with the fullness of God. Light began to come out of them and just cascade into me and fill me. And it's very difficult to describe adequately with words the experience, but I was engulfed with light. There was absolutely nothing left within me. I experienced in the eternal realm what we're going to experience fully in the future as Holy Spirit finishes his work. The fullness of the stature of Christ was in me. I've tried to reaccess that experience many times and I've not been able to do it. But in that moment, I was filled with the fullness of the knowledge of God, and literally anything could have happened. The enemy could have appeared in front of me and it would have been like a gnat. You know, it was just, everything was meaningless in contrast to this extraordinary experience that I was going through. So I was filled with the light of God, filled with love, filled with wisdom, filled with peace, filled with joy, one with God. There was just no darkness. Only the record of the DNA of the being of God. The revelation of who he is and the light of who he is going to pass through me and fill me. Thank you, Jesus. So I went through quite a lot of experiences like this. And was being changed as we are, you know, from one degree of glory to the next. My identity was very established. And then Jesus began to require of me, like I said, a different level of obedience, where he began to trust me with very difficult circumstances, where I learned the power of obedience. Now, in that place of surrender, whatever it is we need, whether it's a sickness in our body or whether it's a broken relationship or, you know, whatever it is, demonic strongholds, demonic attack, you know, there's myriads of things that come against our lives. When he asks us to step in, I can honestly say to you, whatever Jesus is asking of you, he's inviting you in that moment into a partnership with him for that situation, because heaven's engaging it to redeem it. It's really important that you hear that. So it doesn't matter what the source of the brokenness is. What matters is that when Jesus invites you in that moment to partner with him, what's happening is that you're engaging the full resource of God. The full resource of heaven is going, we're now mobilizing, we're focusing, bang. But we require to do it with you because you have authority on the earth. In partnership with Jesus. That's how he set it up, as we know. There has to be agreement between heaven and earth because he's restrained his sovereignty into meekness to allow us to mature and become forth as Christ-like in partnership with him. Wow. Wow. So here's the yucky story, but I pray that you'll really, really, really hear and receive hope and power, whatever the Holy Spirit has for you. Okay, so many years ago, as lots of you know, many years ago now, I was in a very abusive marriage. This is the bit that I haven't shared before. So Jesus came to me. I'd now been divorced for quite a long time. I was in a blissful season of encounters and intimacy and being undone by the Lord, and my identity completely turned upside down and healed and delivered. And we would all pray every single morning in my house and worship, and it was just glorious for years, literally years. We just had ecclesia at home day after day after day after day, and glory, and it was just amazing. And we'd all lie on the floor and get delivered of everything and whatever and healed, and it was just amazing. And experiences and visitations that were holy and transformational. And then I started to be taken into the invitation of, and now let's run together. Let's start to rule together. I'm going to show you what resurrection life looks like. So I was in an experience with the Lord. He came to me. Many times Jesus will come. He's been to me physically, but most times he will come in the spirit, and he's physically there, but not, you know, in this dimension. So I will see him very clearly, as many of us do. And he was in front of me, and the love that he is was pouring out of him and wrecking me as he does, and filling me more with him. And he started to remind me of loads of experiences with him. Times I just felt his touch when he'd healed me of motor neuron. You know, on and on and on and on, incredible experiences. And so in the middle, in the height of this incredible love, like experience, like where everything in me was just absolutely in love with God and totally secure, he said to me, I want you to go to your ex-husband. Now, what I thought he said, and he didn't correct me, was that he wanted me to go back to him. Now, and I don't say any of this with any critical spirit at all, I mean, at all, you know what I mean? We're only all walking in the light that we all have. I don't have any offense or any outstanding issues. It was a very long time ago. But it had been a very abusive marriage. There was violence, there was emotional cruelty, there was psychological cruelty. In the end, the Lord led me out of that marriage. I had so much faith that I would have stayed till I was dead. You know what I mean? So I had to go through a whole process with the Lord on all of that. And because the Lord had put so much mercy in me, I don't feel offense, and so I would love and love and love and give and give, not perfectly, but I would love and love. And so I had to learn how to put boundaries in, because I would get used and abused and violated, and I didn't, you know, it's not healthy to live like that. I had to learn the balance. So I was so stunned by what I believed the Lord was saying to me that I freaked out, because the contrast, I mean, talk about unequal yoking. Which means that my ex-husband wasn't a believer, was very, very broken, addicted to cocaine, very powerful, very messed up, very different life completely. And I had been totally separated, soul ties cut, completely healed, taken on a different journey. And there was just, it would have been like talking Russian and Chinese at that time. And so I could not comprehend what was being said to me, but Jesus was there and he was holding me. And so I started to just cry and scream and beat his chest. And like for about, I mean, it sounds quite lame now trying to recount the story, but I was utterly wrecked. I mean, just, it was incomprehensible to me what I was being asked to do because of what I'd lived through and what I thought he was asking of me. So I just cried and bawled and shouted, and he just kept holding me and holding me and holding me, and then he kept loving me until in the end I just collapsed. I think you may have even been there, Ludo, I can't remember now, but I just collapsed on the floor and I died. And I just said, Lord, my life's not mine. If that's what you want, I die. And it was impossible. I mean, there was no contact, hardly, you know, anything. So it was, and I don't mean it to sound horrible about my ex-husband, please hear me correctly, you know, to me, he's a precious man in his own journey. But for me, all I cared about was Jesus. All I wanted in my life was Jesus. And to know his ways and to run in his kingdom with him. And so I had no grid for the power of obedience. I had no grid for him asking me to do something. I thought my life was just delivered and ecstatic and I was just going to be like this forever. It was all about me. Feeling the love of God all the time. And shining and being happy and loving people and, you know, not right now it's going to be about death to self. Now you're really going to learn how to love with me. So I surrendered and I died. And that afternoon the phone rang. And it was my ex-husband, out of the blue. And he said, I can't live without you. I want you to come back. I'll do anything. Will you come on a date with me? And I nearly fell over. And I was like, I was still in horror. I was still reeling. And I was holding the phone, like going, I can't do this. I can't do this. And anyway, long story cut very short. I went through the motions and went to see him. And it was like talking to somebody talking Russian. I mean, we were in two kingdoms. You know, it was just bizarre, but I walked through this out of love for him, for the Lord, and I'll trust you, I trust you. I have nothing in me that can do this. I can't do this, but I'm yours. You do it. And so I went, and then I ended up having a conversation where I was able to, in humility, apologize for my mess, my part of all the mess. And so did that. It wasn't really a date, but that... I kind of went through the motions, came home. And I think it was the following morning, I was in worship again, like giving my heart to God, going, my mind's blown, okay, whatever. You know, I just surrender, just give me, talk to me, Lord, give me what I need, give me the grace to do the utter impossible. The next morning, I'm in worship, doing all of this. This is the, don't try this bit at home, right? This is witchcraft. This was before I was God, with God. The Lord took me back to a memory, and it was the first date I had gone on with my ex-husband. We went to a gypsy. I was not a Christian, clearly. And the gypsy said to me, if you want to be with him, do this. And she taught me a spell, and I had not remembered this at all. So I stupidly did the spell, and I put myself under a witchcraft curse. And as all of this came flooding back, there were lots of implications to this, like lots of people got affected by this. In that selfish, bratty moment, I had put a curse on us. And the Lord, in that moment, began to flood my understanding with what I'd thought he'd required of me meant a total death to self. I had to move, and he moved me by his grace in the opposite spirit to the control that I had got married under. So it was obviously witchcraft is a highest form of control. And so as I totally surrendered out of love for Jesus, it shifted principalities and powers that had come against my life in a demonic setup to bring destruction. And it didn't just bring destruction to me. A lot of people were caught up in all of that. And he broke the power of God. I just realized I was distraught. In that moment, the conviction came, and I realized what I'd done, repented. And he said, he taught me in that moment, and he said, because you've surrendered out of love for me, and I'll break the power, the resurrection power of God can now hit that situation. And he broke the witchcraft completely. The power of God hit me. I was absolutely free. And every last bit of all of that tie, now there was a journey to walk out, but that tie in the spirit realm broke because of his resurrection power, because I aligned. I chose to die to self. Now it was an extreme situation. And then the requirement lifted. The interest from my ex-husband dissipated. It's like it hadn't happened. It's like, blip, move on. And it was lifted. And that was the beginning. And then the Lord corrected. He gave me the full understanding. He required me to go and see him. But I had understood full reconciliation and was willing to go there. And it broke the lot. So that was the beginning of my learning the power of living in the cross. That when we will pursue him above all else, and he requires something of us. Like if it's a whatever it is in your lives that needs the resurrection power of God to begin to pour into it, to release the light, to collapse the darkness that's trapping that situation into a destructive cycle. When you sit with him and he invites you to partner into that, and he shows you what redemption looks like, he will give you the love to be able to say yes to him. When you say yes to him out of love for him, that is ultimate surrender. That's the power of the cross. That's the power of a yielded life. And when you do that, you will start to receive the virtue into your being that will enable you to walk through that situation victoriously, and it will release resurrection life into that situation. It redeems us. It sanctifies us. It transfigures us. It brings us forth. That's the purpose of our life, as we know. It's the transfiguration process. We're becoming like Christ. That's it. That's the purpose. And then we produce different fruit. You know, as we know, everything that then we walk through, we build, is produced from the fruit of the nature of God. His kingdom comes, the domain of the king, the realm of the king, the presence of the king, the ways and the wisdom of the king come on earth. Wow. Thank you, Lord. And so the witchcraft was broken off my life, and Jesus cleaned up the mess that I'd made. I'd made a huge mess in trying to drive my own life and making decisions to try to survive, as we do. And he's so merciful. He's just so merciful. He taught me through it, and he redeemed the situation. And he literally closed out the impact of what had happened to me up until that point. On a heart level, there were still circumstances to walk through, but I was not connected to any of it anymore, and I was not controlled by spirits of witchcraft that were operating and manipulating my life. My heart was completely free to just love and to partner with the emotions of his heart in the secret place in prayer. That's one of the other things that he's taught me, you know, that is the power of his nature. That if we will align with him and choose, like it, for example, if we're walking through a difficult marriage or a difficult relationship with somebody, the power to break through is as we surrender to his nature. We don't self-preserve, we relinquish control, and we step into his presence, and we allow the divine exchange to happen, the beauty to come, the virtue that we need of him to be victorious in that situation, whatever that situation is demanding, is requiring, is a better way of saying it. We look to God for the wisdom and the virtue to be released, to be successful in that situation. And then the more we partner with him in mature ministry or mature relationship like this, the less we fear, like perfect love casts out all fear. We have a different frame of reference for life. Everything becomes about pleasing God, about experiencing his love and then loving him with our life. As Jesus said, those that love me will do my will. So it's walking with him, pleasing him with every thought and intention of our life, with the attitude of our life. It's not about us having a happy life. It's about us living in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, becoming Christ-like, fashioned and formed in the likeness of the living God, to become the equally yoked counterpart, partnering with God forever. And that's the place when we're clothed more with him, and we're living in the place of the cross, or like it says in Song of Solomon, hide me in the cleft of the rock. That means in the cross, in the place of the cross, the place where we can connect to God, receive the power of God, to step out of the carnal nature, being leading our life, to be led by His Spirit, living in His presence, becoming increasingly beautiful, because we're being brought forth as a shining one. I just have to read this bit to you. This is it's the Song of Solomon, verse 1, as most of you will know. The first verse is, "Kiss me with the kisses of your mouth, for your love is better than wine." That word in the Hebrew for kiss is nashak. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. It has two meanings. The first part of it, as many of the Hebrew words do, they're sort of two sides of the same coin. One side is, it means revelation into the heart. So when we ask God to kiss us with the kisses of His mouth, kiss Him, kiss us with the kisses of Your word, it means give us revelation, Lord, of who You are into our heart. The other side of the meaning is to be equipped for war. Isn't that awesome? So it's not fluffy feminine. When you look at this, when you look at the Song of Solomon and you read it from the Hebrew, it's very powerful. So when we receive revelation in the intimate place, obviously kissing speaks of the most intimate connection. When we are kissed by the mouth of God, we are receiving revelation straight from His heart into our heart that's so transformational that it brings us forth as a warrior. That's the purpose, to crush Satan under our feet because of the authority of the one who breathes the revelation into us through the kisses of His mouth. Worshipping warriors yielded to the supremacy and the headship of the Lord of hosts, the King of kings, Lord of lords, to establish the government of love, the government of heaven, the government of light into this realm. That's our responsibility. And we have authority to the degree that we are yielded. As we surrender fear or hate, and we choose to love and forgive and embrace and empower and flow in the nature of God in a situation, we have power to collapse the darkness because resurrection life is flowing through us. And then in the secret place, in the spirit, we can intercede for that person, that situation, that church, that business, whatever it is, that town, that village, that country, however far the Lord then gives us visibility, when we have His nature clothing us and the motivation of His heart being the driving force of our own, we have governmental authority. We speak the word of God. We release into this realm the frequency of the intention of His heart. And it begins to manifest and become established here in that situation. Do you get that? It's like it's the power passes through the yielded vessel. As we're aligned, this is what He's doing. He's bringing us forth now. It's all about holiness. That's what He's shown me. The transfiguration process, as it has begun, it's accelerated. It's accelerating. It's about holiness, purity. And heaven is engaged, obviously, in this, because it's bringing forth the Lord's inheritance. This is the joy that was set before Him as He endured the agony of the cross. He saw us. He saw His counterpart, the perfect reflection of who He is, birthed through a new creation in this realm that would run with Him forever. I mean, we have no idea what's ahead. This is the training ground. This is the transfiguration process. But we're eternal beings, as we know. So I felt like tonight what the Lord wanted to do with me sharing this is shift us back into heaven's perspective for our life, for whatever we're going through, to hear him again about what he's doing or what he wants to be for you in the partnership of the redemption of that situation that he's trusting you with, because he knows his own capability. He knows the power of you as a team. When you have God backing you up and his nature and his wisdom and his spirit leading you, there's no failure in God. We just have to die and get out of the way and trust him that if we'll let go of our happy dreams, what will replace that is joy, righteousness, peace, kingdom. And also, the more that he can entrust us with this, trust us with this fellowship of the sufferings of Christ, as we're brought forth, proven faithful in our stewardship, that's how we get promoted in the kingdom. So we advance in our capacity to steward kingdom vision. And at the end of the day, whatever the vision is, it's the, as you build it, if it's a business or whatever it is, it's the vehicle, it's the wineskin through which his life will flow. And as you align with him and his presence increases, you are establishing the culture of his heart in whatever it is you're doing. But in the end, everything, whatever we're doing, everything is about the revelation of who God is. We can't produce anything apart from him. We really can't. Because the whole thing is about us being a doorway between heaven and earth, where his life flows through into this realm and collapses the darkness. Because we're living, as we know, we're living from the place of it is finished. We're living from the victory of Golgotha. So what we do in the cross is we're springing forth. We're coming forth. He's calling us forth. Every invitation to the cross is him calling us forth. He's saying, run with me, come forward. So it's about resurrection life filling us. It's about becoming more and more established in the likeness of Christ and advancing in our life and moving forward. It feels to the carnal nature in the moment excruciating. And that's one of the examples that I've gone through. That was kind of one of my baptism of fire into this part of my life. But there's many since then, because the Lord really, he sustains us with the intimacy. He sustains us with his love. And every time we surrender, we get more of him. The ecstasy of the experiences that we can have with him increase. We get more full of him with each surrender, with each moment where we correctly align back with, what are you doing in my life? Who am I? Who are you? What is this? How does this look from heaven's perspective? What are you doing here, Lord? And you get out of the way. You get more filled with him. You get more filled with him. So I want to just give people an opportunity to respond. We can do some worship. I want to give quite a bit of time for ministry to this, because it's very serious. If you believe the Lord, if there's something you're going through that's impossible and that is requiring you to, first of all, to understand what the Lord is doing and is requiring partnership with him, then just come down. Let's just do business with the Lord. Just receive. Don't go out of here tonight struggling. The Lord's inviting us into a shift, into a realignment, a readjustment of our perspective and our heart, to bring us to a new place of empowerment so that we can walk in what we're called to walk in his strength. Really, really, really. Because we are transformation vehicles. We are, everywhere we go, we have the King resident inside of us. We are supposed to be transfiguring every situation that we touch. But we have to be transfigured first. Ha. And I promise you, any situation that he's requiring you to walk in, or that you find yourself in and you're going, wow, my life's out of control, these situations are too much, I hate it, or you're struggling to try and get out of it, ask him tonight. And tonight's the opportunity to go, right, okay, Jesus, what are you saying to me in this? What does wisdom look like for me in this? What do I have to do? What attitudes do I have to surrender? Where do I have to let go? What do I need from you? How do I get out of the way? What are you doing? What are you doing? Wow. I'm just going to read this, and then let's just come down and we can pray with you, anoint you, stand with you as you get heaven's perspective again for your life, and stand with you as fresh faith begins to engulf you for your situation, whatever it is that the Lord's requiring of you, whatever it is that you're walking through. Ha. It's a glory story waiting to happen. This surrendered life enables us to view our life and everything from Jesus' perspective. But we can only really see clearly when we align to his headship and we surrender to him and his ways and his nature. It is the place of freedom and power. And Jesus wants us to be very, very fruitful. He wants us, and it's never going to stop. And he's bringing us forth without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. Isn't that incredible? Like, if you meditate on who we are, he's bringing us forth in the likeness of himself. We are created as the perfect image of God, in the exact likeness. We are being established as fully Christ-like. I mean, where there's no darkness in God. Wow. The more we see him, the more we see who we are. Okay, this is Jesus speaking to us. This is Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 8. This is him speaking to us in the moment where we, in our heart, have made the decision to say yes, to run with him in mature, deeper spirit life. Now you are ready, bride of the mountains. To come with me as we climb the highest peaks together. Come with me through the archway of trust. We will look down from the crest of the glistening mounts and from the summit of our sublime sanctuary. Together we will wage war in the lion's den and the leopard's lair as they watch nightly for their prey. Obviously, that's speaking of partnering with Jesus in intercession to displace the darkness, to intercede on behalf of people, regions, ministries, businesses, nations, families, whatever it is he's engaging you with, giving you perspective of. We are created to live on the top of the mountain with the Lord. The sanctuary is the place of intimate connection that we have with him, our relationship. We ascend with clean hands and a pure heart. We ascend the hill of the Lord. We ascend through surrender. We go lower to go higher. This is the place where power rests. He's equipping us as an army ready for war to administrate the finished work of the cross in every single area of our life. He took the lot, as we know. He took all iniquity, he took all sin, he took all sickness, he took everything on the cross, and he wants us to live from that finished work and to administrate from that finished work and to experience the power of it. And what I described through that experience was me learning the activation point. How do you activate the power of the cross in your life? How do you move from the place of carnality to spirit life, to operating out of who we really are? How do we move to become more like Christ? We die. That's it. And it's, we do it quite a lot, kicking and screaming, but it is the place of power. It's the place of freedom. It's the place where all the anxiety goes and lifts and goes. It's the place of peace, in the place of surrender, where you live in that place internally of knowing that in every movement of your heart, you are now pleasing the heart of God. You're not in disconnect. You're not in rebellion. You're not trapped in pain. You're not separated. You're one. The oneness comes through yieldedness. And the ability to do it comes through his love. It's the experience of his love. We have to do it connected. Otherwise, it's not about striving to become beautiful. We can't do it. We have to yield and surrender and be reclothed and refilled with him. The more we are filled with him constantly, we have to live filled, because it's his light coming in us, releasing the record constantly, increasingly, of who he is into every attribute of our being. It's much more simple. That's warfare. You know, it's much more simple. It's not about exhausting yourself, trying to correct every single part of you that's just hanging out and isn't gorgeous. You know, it's and every demonic attachment and whatever. It's not about trying to fix ourselves. It's about yieldedness. Beauty for ashes. Wow. The oil of joy instead of a spirit of despair. The divine exchange, our inheritance flowing constantly. Our inheritance is Christ-likeness. Our inheritance is receiving more of him. More of him. Wow, wow, wow. Just through saying yes. Holy. And doing what he's asking us to do. Staying connected. Going slow on the inside. In the midst of our day. Choosing love. In the end, it's the way we can discern our behavior is holding our life up against the nature of God. And actually, the fastest way to get transfigured, as we know, is worship. Just being with God, giving him time every day, or through the day, just reconnecting. That's one of the disciplines the Lord's given me. The abilities, I should say, so it's a discipline in my life now that's a graced discipline, is just to center and reconnect. And, you know, just where you know where the Lord is, where you can feel him, where you can experience him, is reconnecting to him, just taking time out to let his spirit fill you again, let his love fill you again. If your being is not manifesting the fruit of his nature, then that's how you discern that you're not actually in Christ. Because there's no darkness in Christ. There's only love and peace and joy and wisdom. Holy and kindness and gentleness and tenderness and long-suffering and patience. And you know what you start to do as well? And then I'll stop with this because I just want to give time for people to respond and we just pray. What you start to do when you live like this is you become so, like I said before, so consumed with what pleases the King, the motivating force of your life increasingly becomes what pleases you. That becomes your ambition, to please the heart of God. And that's a powerful place of freedom to live in, because you stop worrying about what other people think. How successful am I? Whatever it is, you know what I mean? Have I achieved my 5-year plan? Am I whatever? You know, the things that matter to people, they become way secondary. What matters is, in this moment, am I releasing God in this situation? Am I manifesting you? Am I connected to you sufficiently, Lord, that light is pouring through me in this moment? Am I operating in authority? Am I pleasing the heart of God? And it's not striving, it's love relationships. Like, when you're madly in love, like, you know, with Wes, I don't want to do anything to that hurts Wes's heart, my husband's heart, you know, without, because I love him. I want the best for him. I want to be beautiful for him. It's like that, but it's with God, you know, and there's a grace to be able to live that like that. And what you find is you start fighting, when you see, fighting for the freedom of other people. So instead of, you know, you've got somebody that's really hurting you, or being nasty about you, whatever, you know, betraying you, like, you know, obviously we go through very serious situations, relational breakdowns. In this place of grace, what I found is that you immediately start to be concerned about, why is that person behaving like that? What's the enemy doing to trigger them? And you start fighting for them, because you're in a little bit further down the road, a little bit further down the road in your freedom. And so you realize in the thankfulness that the Lord has poured out so much grace on your life, your appropriate response and your immediate response is, I'm going to fight for them. How do I respond, Lord? Turning away wrath with a gentle answer. You know, putting up boundaries where you need to, but in love, speaking the truth in love and fighting for them in the secret place, covering them. Love covers a multitude of sins, not exposing them in their weakness, not when we don't need to, you know, following the ways of wisdom. Because the only thing in the end that I've found that changes anything is love. God's love. Jesus, all the way through my experience with him over 20 years, he's never criticized me, ever. He's never said to me, oh, you're doing this wrong and you're doing that wrong. What he'll do is he will overwhelm me with his love, show me myself in the future and how we look in the future through the finished work, relate to me as though I'm already perfect, call me forth into the fullness of who I am in him, and then gently convict me where, oh, just let go of that, let go of that. That's just like that's a mechanism holding you into the Adamic nature right now. Let's just cut it. You know, and you flip back again. But it's love. We are transformed by love. And you know yourself, don't you? When you know that you are really loved by somebody, you become the best version of yourself. You rise to a higher state of being within yourself because you feel believed in. You feel loved. You feel empowered. You feel safe. You open up in that environment. You can breathe. There's enough negativity in the world and criticism. And you know what? It doesn't do anything positive because it's not the nature of God. There's no life in it. We have to align with life. And when we can't, we ask him for the grace. That's the partnership. So if any of that witnesses to you, if you're going through situations where you really do need his perspective, you need to know what you're supposed to do in it and you need to know what he wants to be for you in that. And to come back to the place of the cross, the place of life, true life, then just come, we'll do a little bit more worship. Just come to the front. You don't need to share. It's really between you and God. This is serious business, to shift into resurrection life and freedom from where you are. Could I just have some of the ministry team from prayer school? Could you just come and help me? So we just stand with you all. You know what? And when we do yield, and to say yes to the partnership with him at this next level, this is our life's calling. We're actually living our life's calling. We're not waiting for it to happen. We're manifesting the glory of God, and the fruit of our life will begin to change. There's nothing stronger than the blood, because he's taken everything into himself, and now he's releasing life to us as we step into the cross with him and go, yeah. I say yes to you, Lord. So as I pray, and Mary and Lulu and a couple of others will go round and just lay hands on you. Just really dialogue with the Lord. Really press in as Mark and the guys worship. Just press in. All we're doing is facilitating your time, standing with you as brothers and sisters together, so that you can shift from where you are into freedom in God now. It's worth going through the pain barrier, honestly. It really is.
About a year ago, I was at an Arise meeting, and I had a vision, and I shared it with Liz, but you know what happens with the Holy Spirit quite often? He took us in a different direction, and it just wasn't time for it, and it didn't fit in. So I thought, well, that's fine, and just shelved it, and forgot all about it, really. And then this evening, the vision came back very clearly, and it was of the Lord walking up the Mount of Transfiguration, and I was there but at a distance from him, and he picked up this boulder and he used it like a skimming stone. You know when people skim stones across a pool or out to sea? And it was like that, and it went flying down the Mount of Transfiguration, and I could see this village, and as it hit the village just burst into light, and then I could see it happening in other villages. But tonight, when I had the vision again, I walked to the top of the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord, or, you know, not close to him, but he was a little way from me, and I felt him say, "What do you see?" And I could see, because I was at the top of the mountain, I could see villages and towns right across the world, and they were all being filled with light. And so I just shared it with Liz, and she said, "Oh, that's interesting, because I'm going to talk about transfiguration tonight." So that was thank you, Lord. That was a confirmation for Liz.
Lord's starting to challenge some of you and like hit the point of pain and surrender. Just let go. Whatever the situation is that you're dealing with, just give it to him and invite him in.
You've been quiet for so long.
Just want you to know as well that we do in the bridal company, we pray for all of you for this, for the transfiguration process. This is the passion of my heart with Jesus in the secret place. To see us coming forth as shining ones, absolutely filled with radiant light, clothed with his nature, flying, releasing resurrection power in our lives. I pray passionately that we would walk in unity with one another, in oneness with Jesus, that there'd be no denominational barriers anymore, that that God's people wouldn't be divided. That we'd just be one in him. I've experienced that in heaven. I've experienced the oneness and the love. And so I contend for it for each of us. Amen. He's meeting your needs right now as you're engaging him. And reaching out to him with your heart, with your cries of your heart, asking for beauty, for him to take the ashes, take the situations, redeem them, heal them, transfigure them. He's releasing more of his love, the experience of his love to you. Thank you, Jesus. More visibility. More visibility into his heart. So that you would also see who you are as you gaze upon him. We are perfected by his perfection as we touch his perfection.
I just want to share something that happened to me. I have a lot of walks in heaven. And there's a beautiful family here tonight, the Cavins. And I had a time with Jonathan. And just through a prayer moment, I stepped into a heavenly place. And I came before the Father. And a couple of things that happened. The first thing is this, that he said to me. As he said, there's only one thing that can stand in the place of holiness, and that's holiness itself. For we are all holy through Jesus. The other thing he did is he hugged me. And when he hugged me, I disappeared into him. And then he said, put your hands out, and I placed my hands out like this, and he took his heart and placed it into my hands. That is the most precious thing in the whole of creation, is the Father's heart. And he said, wherever you go, just place that heart into others. And I just want to encourage you to just step beyond the veil. Just go beyond the veil. Jesus was torn in two. He was the veil, and we can enter in. And just disappear beyond the veil and take that journey into the Father's heart. Experience it for yourself. And then we experience it in each other. Just learn to hug each other and disappear. Let your hearts become one with each other. And that unconditional love is what the whole of creation is waiting to see. That we truly are sons and daughters of a living God. So I would suggest that you just find somebody to hug. And when you hug, just disappear into each other's hearts. In that oneness that the Father's brought to us through Jesus.
There are some here who have fractured bones that have healed, skewed. There are some here who are struggling, and they're walking with wounds because the bones haven't set right. And I believe Jesus is saying, sometimes I have to break the bones again to set them properly. And there's one or two here, and this will be done painlessly. It'll be done through a hug. It'll be done through an admission. It'll be done through desperation. And he will break that offending bone that's causing you to limp. And he will reset it, and it will be perfect. And you will heal up, and you will walk straight. And you will not be skewed. You will not fall over. You will not be disabled. In the spirit and the soul realm, you will stand because you have been properly healed. But the breaking itself can be painful. But the redemption is remarkable, and the joy will come.